last week that I titled Believing is Seeing. And I flipped the words around on purpose. And you remember, those of you who were here last week, remember we talked about Thomas, the disciple who would not believe until he saw Jesus. And then Jesus makes this remarkable statement, blessed are those who have not seen yet believe. And sometimes I think that what we need to do is we need to believe so that we can see. So we're going to continue on that theme today. Our scripture lesson comes to us from the Gospel of Mark. I'm going to be reading from Mark chapter 9. I'm going to begin at verse 14 and read down through verse 29. If you have your Bibles, you're welcome to follow along. If you don't, you're welcome to listen as we read from Mark chapter 9. When they returned to the other disciples, they saw a large crowd surrounding them, and some of the teachers of religious law were arguing with them. When the crowd saw Jesus, they were overwhelmed with awe, and they ran to greet him. "What is all this arguing about?" Jesus asked. One of the men in the crowd spoke up and said, "Teacher, I brought my son so you could heal him. He is possessed by an evil spirit that won't let him speak. And whenever this spirit seizes him, it throws him violently to the ground. He foams at the mouth and grinds his teeth and becomes rigid. So I asked your disciples to cast out the evil spirit, but they couldn't do it." Then Jesus said to them, "You faithless people, how long must I be with you? How long must I put up with you? Bring the boy to me." So they brought the boy. But when the spirit saw Jesus, it threw the child into a violent convulsion, and he fell to the ground, writhing and foaming at the mouth. "How long has this been happening?" Jesus asked the boy's father. He replied, "Since he was a little boy. The spirit often throws him into fire or into water, trying to kill him. Have mercy on us and help us if you can." "What do you mean, if I can?" Jesus asked. "Anything is possible if a person believes." The father instantly cried out, "I do believe, but help me overcome my unbelief." When Jesus saw that the crowd of onlookers was growing, he rebuked the evil spirit. "Listen, you spirit that makes this boy unable to hear and speak," he said. "I command you to come out of this child and never enter him again." Then the spirit screamed and threw the boy into another violent convulsion and left him. The boy appeared to be dead. A murmur ran through the crowd as people said to each other, "He's dead." But Jesus took him by the hand and helped him to his feet, and he stood up. Afterward, when Jesus was alone in the house with his disciples, they asked him, "Why couldn't we cast out that evil spirit?" And Jesus replied, "This kind cannot be cast out only by prayer and fasting." May the Lord add a blessing to both the hearing and the reading of his holy word. And let us pray. Gracious God, we thank you for the opportunity we've had to gather today in worship, and we're thankful for the way that your Holy Spirit has moved through this gathering thus far. And Lord, we pray that your Holy Spirit would continue to move among us. I especially pray that in the next few minutes that I might decrease in this place in order that Jesus Christ might increase. And I pray, Lord, that my words would be your words. And God, we ask that you would open our ears, open our minds, but most of all, dear God, open our hearts, that what you have to say to us today, we might hear it and receive it, not as just more information. We are bombarded with information all the time. But Lord, we ask that your words would be transforming to us and that we might find your words transforming to our hearts and to our lives. And all this we ask in the name of your Son and our Savior Jesus Christ, saying amen. I'm not sure that there's anything worse than having a sick child, especially a child that is desperately, desperately ill. Several years back, our son Tyler ended up having his appendix rupture, and they misdiagnosed him as having a stomach virus. And so the rupture was not discovered of the appendix for some 2 or 3 weeks. And by this point, he was very, very sick. And I can remember Kim and I going to Vanderbilt Children's Hospital to be with him. And I never forget walking up and down the halls of Children's Hospital and looking in the rooms. And every now and then you'd look in a room and you'd see a metal crib. You know, those cold metal stainless steel cribs that they have. And you'd see a child in there who was bald. And you knew that it was cancer and that they were probably doing chemotherapy. And there were other children who were so sick. And I remember that our prayers were probably never as earnest as they were when he was sick. And thankfully, he was able to recover after a couple of hospital visits and several weeks of back and forth, us not knowing what was going to happen. But I can't imagine too much that would affect us more deeply than a sick child. So when we come to this story in the Gospel of Mark, we immediately have empathy, don't we? We empathize with this father. It's an interesting story. Jesus walks up on a crowd. He's been away with Peter and John, and they come back, and they see this big crowd, and immediately they want to know what's going on. And of course, what's going on is that the disciples have tried to heal this young boy, who probably, if we were looking at this today, and somebody in the medical field would probably say, this sounds like epilepsy. And that's what it sounds like to me, that the boy was having epileptic fits. And it's interesting to me, Jesus' response to all of this, because the disciples have tried to heal the boy, and they failed. It just didn't work. And so the father is getting more desperate, and Jesus is getting frustrated. You know, I have to say that I understand the cry of Jesus. How much longer do I have to put up with you people? I might have said that a time or two in my ministry at various times when I got frustrated. But then Jesus sees what's happening to the boy. He asks the boy to be brought to him. When he sees what's happening, he starts to ask the father questions. And then the father says, you know, whatever you can do. Do you hear this cry? Whatever you can do for him, please. If you can, help him. Well, Jesus was already not real happy about this whole situation. And it's interesting that we see Jesus in this situation where he's apparently getting more and more frustrated, because Jesus' response is, if I can, you need to have faith and you need to believe. Now, we've been talking about this for the past couple of weeks, haven't we? We talked about it last week. We talked about this idea of belief, and seeing is believing, and the fact that sometimes people see and they still don't believe. It's interesting to me, at the end of the Gospel of Matthew, there's a story about the disciples seeing the resurrected Jesus. But there's three words in this passage that just absolutely astound me, because it says that they fell and worshiped Jesus, but the last three words of this verse say, and some doubted. And sometimes I go, okay, if he's right there with you, if you've seen all this, but apparently even when Jesus was right in front of you, it was hard, difficult to believe. And so what we talked about last week is that sometimes what we have to do is we have to believe so that we can see. And I think the question today that comes to us from this gospel passage is, what happens when you don't have enough faith? What happens when you don't have enough belief? What happens when you don't have enough? Because you see, I don't know about you, but sometimes for me, I just think, wow, I don't have a lot of faith. I see people, and I'm sure you do too, who have a lot of faith, who believe that things are going to work out. But oftentimes, I'm a realist and sometimes a cynic and skeptical, and I think, well, things might not work out, and what happens then? And I think that this passage today has a lot to say to those of us who might wonder whether or not we have enough faith. Because when Jesus says, you know, all you got to do is believe. All you've got to do is believe. What do you mean if I can? It's interesting, this man's response, and it's been a prayer and a cry for a lot of us who may not have had all the faith that we thought that we needed over the years. And the man says, Lord, I believe, help my unbelief. Lord, I believe, help my unbelief. And you know, it just fascinates me because I think sometimes all we need is a little belief, a little faith to carry us through. And you know, sometimes we beat ourselves up because we say, well, I just don't have enough faith. I just don't have enough faith. But we forget what Jesus said. Jesus said, you only have to have enough faith as is in a mustard seed. Now, you all, when I was in Israel about 7 or 8 years ago, they brought us some mustard seeds. And I don't know if you've seen these things before, but they look like BBs. Okay, that's what they are. They're about the size of BBs. So we thought, well, okay, that's the mustard seed. That's the little bitty thing. And the man that was showing us these, he says, no, that's not the seed. And then he crushed it. And the seeds, the mustard seeds, they're like dust. They're like little pieces of dust. And I thought to myself, Jesus was saying, if you can just get a little bit, if you can just get a little bit of belief, if you can just get a little bit of faith, I can carry you. I can carry you. But you got to have that little bit of faith so that you can believe and then so that you can see. You know, when my son Noah, who's 15 now, he was probably 2 or 3. And his favorite word, one of the first words he learned was stuck. And it didn't matter what was going on. If he got frustrated or if he couldn't find something or do something, the word was stuck. So if he couldn't reach something, he would stand there and he'd go, stuck, stuck. If, you know, a toy was under the bed and he couldn't get it, stuck, stuck. I mean, everything was stuck. If he wanted to go outside, stuck. He'd stand from the door, stuck. And then one day, and I'm not sure, you know, I was a little hesitant about telling this story because I'm not sure how this reflects on Kim and I as parents, but, you know, sometimes things happen that you don't foresee are going to happen. But one day we were in the house and we heard Noah, he started screaming at the top of his lungs, stuck, and he was just wailing, he was screaming and crying. And we go in to find that he has got his head and his shoulder and his arm through a lampshade. Okay, so the lampshade is like kind of going around here. And of course, this time he really was stuck. And I don't know to this day how we extricated him from that. What I do know is that if one of us had the presence of mind to take a photograph, I don't know who we'll ever show it to, but we've got it because it was so hard to believe that this had happened. But you know, I think that sometimes in our lives we get into situations and we really get stuck. And we want to do one of two things. We either try to get ourselves out, we try to extricate ourselves without any help, and we say, I can do this and I don't need anybody's help, and that includes God. And then what we do is we end up being frustrated, or sometimes we just give up. And we just say, well, this is it. I guess I'm just going to go the rest of my life with a lampshade around my arm and my neck because I'm just stuck. This is just the way it is. But it's fascinating to me in this story that Jesus healed this man's son when this man and possibly the disciples, although there's an explanation at the end of the story about why they couldn't take it out, as if there was not enough faith for anything to get done, as if this was just a hopeless situation. And I really think that's what frustrated Jesus the most about this whole story was the fact that everybody felt like it was the end of the line, that nothing else could be done, that we had to stop here. That's as far as we go. But the cry of this man has been a prayer of mine for years, and maybe some of you too, because I find myself a lot of times in situations with folks around me, with folks in the church, with people that I know, with family members, and sometimes with myself, in situations that I don't see any way that God can do anything in this situation. I mean, I absolutely don't see how God can do anything. And yet, I still pray, And the reason that I can still pray is because what I pray is, Lord, I believe, help my unbelief. Lord, I believe, help me to get the rest of the way. Because Jesus said, all you need is that much. That's all you've got to have, is that much. And you can believe, and then you will see. It just depends on whether or not you're willing to ask God for help. If you're willing to ask God to take you where you cannot go by yourself. And you see, I think that's one of the misunderstandings that we have sometimes about faith, that we think that faith is something that we've got to have and we've got to be full of it. We've got to be full of faith. Otherwise, nothing is going to happen and God is not going to do anything for us. God is not going to try to help us. But in truth, all we have to have is a little bit. All we have to have is a little bit. That's all we have to have. And when we get stuck, as we often do, or the situation seems stuck, then what we have to do is we have to reach out and say, Lord, help me. Lord, help me. And I believe. Help my unbelief. I believe, Lord, but help my unbelief. Help me get the rest of the way. There was a pastor named Bruce Larson who for years and years ministered at a church in New York City. And he would often tell the story about he would be counseling someone, talking to someone who was in a real tough situation. They were, for all intents and purposes, they were stuck. They didn't know what to do. They didn't know where to go. And oftentimes what happens when we get in that situation is we believe that A, we're the only person who's ever been in this situation, and B, we can't do anything, nothing can be done, and we start to lose hope. And what Bruce Larson would do is he would take them out of the church, and first they would walk to the RCA building, and out in front of the RCA building, there was this beautiful statue of Atlas. Now, you know who Atlas was? He was the guy who carried the world. I mean, he had this chiseled, muscular body. Well, no, not like that. I mean, really. And he's sitting there, you know, and he's got the world on his shoulders, and he's straining to hold it up. I mean, he's absolutely straining to hold it up, this statue of Atlas. Then Bruce Larson would take them down the street a little ways to St. Patrick's Cathedral. And right behind the altar in St. Patrick's Cathedral, there was a statue of the boy Jesus at about age 10, 11, or 12, holding the world in his hand, as if it was light as a feather, and just holding it. And he would tell people this. He would say, you have a choice. You have a choice. You can continue to carry this burden around on your shoulders. You can continue to try to work this out for yourself. You can continue to sweat and hurt and try to carry this whole thing around. Or you can give it to somebody for whom it is nothing. It is nothing. You can give it to the person who holds the world in their very hand. And we have that choice. And you see, I think that that's one of the things that we have to understand is that we don't have to carry the world around on our shoulders. We really don't. Now, I know it's tempting, and sometimes it's tempting to the point because we like to talk about it, don't we? Oh, man, how you doing? Oh, you wouldn't believe it. Carrying the world around my shoulders, and this has happened, and that has happened, and this event's going on, and that's going on, and I don't know what I'm going to do. And then you know what happens after that, because what you're going to say is, oh, you wouldn't believe what's going on in my life. Oh, it's bad, right? Or you can say, you know what? Things are lousy right now. Things are tough. And I don't see any way out of this thing. And to use my son's words, I'm stuck. I'm stuck. But I may not know what the future holds, but I do know who holds the future. I may not know what the future holds, but by golly, I do know who holds the future. And that is what gives us hope. And that's what enables us to believe. When we can surrender, carrying our problems around by ourselves, and we can say, you know what, I'm not going to have enough faith ever to do this, so Lord, I believe, help my unbelief, help me to get through this, and surrender whatever it is to God, and let God have some of that, let Jesus carry some of that. It's a whole different story. And what I know is that when we are willing to do that, when we are willing to cast off some of that and to say, God, I believe, help my unbelief. Lord, help me work through this. Help me to see that. I've only got this much faith, Lord, but you said that's all I needed. So help me to see this through. Every time, God will help you see it through. Each and every time. What we have to do is be willing to surrender and to let go and to say, God, here it is. I can't carry this anymore. I don't know what to do with this anymore. I need you to help me with this. And pretty soon, we will find out that believing is seeing. Believing is seeing. And fear not that you have to have all sorts of belief to do this. You don't. You just have to have just a little bit. But you have to be willing to surrender whatever it is that you're stuck with. You got to be willing to surrender that to God. You got to be willing to give it up. You got to be willing to give it up. It doesn't mean that you're not going to do anything to try to work it out and do what you can do. What it does mean, though, is that you're not going to carry the weight of it around on your shoulders anymore, because you know that you don't have to. You don't have to. So this is a story coming to us from the Gospel of Mark that has fascinated me for a long time. And I hope that it speaks to you in the way that it speaks to me, because too often I think we carry around our burdens, we carry around things, we won't surrender and let God help us because we think we don't have enough faith. Well, this story says you probably do. You probably do. And each and every time we find ourselves in these difficult situations, if we'll but look around, we will find the hand of Jesus extending out to us. It's extending to us. And all we've got to do is surrender and grab hold of that hand. And we might find that not only is seeing believing, but also that believing is seeing, even when we can only believe this much. Amen? Amen. Our closing hymn this morning is hymn number 354, I Surrender All. As we stand, we're going to sing verses 1, 3, and 5. As we stand together and sing, if you'd like to make a commitment to Jesus Christ today, we invite you to come forward and do that. If you'd like to become a member of this church today, we invite you to come forward and do that. If you'd like some prayer, we'd be happy to pray with you at the altar. If you'd like some prayer this morning, as we stand together and sing hymn number 354, I Surrender All, verses 1, 3, and 5.